This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
What's up, peeps? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. This week I am doing a read of my notes and highlighted points, essentially, of the research paper Safety Work versus Safety of Work. Well, let's jump into the intro and then we'll get into it.
The problem in safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution and one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviours.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding Safety, crushing the stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Blue.
I didn't unmute myself. James, you're on mute. James, you're on mute. The saying of 2020, and I just did it. Oh my God, everything's going wrong. My mic stand has gone. Ugh. There we go. Right. As per usual. It's gone a bit nuts as we start. I'm sure the start of all of my podcasts are a bit like this. They're a bit messy. They're a bit kerflunked. Anyway. Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Rebranding Safety, YouTube channel and podcast, doing exactly what it says on the tin. We're to change the perception of health and safety. We do that right here on the podcast on the YouTube. So if you're new here, hit those subscribe buttons, follow buttons, whatever it is, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, whatever device you are listening to us on that looks like it does something nice and magical to those funky, crazy algorithms. Before we get into it, yes, it's happening. I'm going to talk about my sponsors. Just one for now, even though we're working on another one, a really cool one. And this one's not really a proper sponsor because I own the business. I own it in collaboration with an amazing gentleman called Colin Nottage. Project Miletium is the curious, authentic, empathetic community that the safety profession has been waiting for. If you are a young or new safety professional looking to absolutely drive your growth and your progression in your career, or maybe you're midway through your career-ish, this is kind of where I put myself, and you're at a bit of a crossroads, you feel like you need that next step but you're struggling to get it, or maybe you've moved on in your career, you think I've got so much knowledge and experience that I want to give back. Project Miletium is the mastermind type slash coaching type membership that you've been waiting for. 100% from weekly community calls to monthly book clubs, philosophy calls, and a quarterly mammoth mastermind session called Wagon Wheels, taking inspiration from Rebel Ideas and Walker's Wagon Wheels in Silicon Valley. It is a place to be. We also provide you with short courses and online resources. The aim is to be the one-stop shop for your development and growth as a risk, safety, well-being type professional that you are. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, and it's facilitated by me. So if you listen to the podcast and you're the kind of listener that's sitting there taking loads of notes, it's for you, peeps. So because we're still in the early stages, we're still tweaking some bits, early adopters discounts apply. So go to www.projectmiletium.com and you can get yourself some early adopter rates. But if you're still not sure that you wanna commit yet, that's fine. Let me know, or email me at james@rebrandingsafety.com, or email me at Project Miletium, which is me at Project Miletium. Miletium is spelled M-O-L-L-I-T-I-A-M. Email me at either of those email addresses and just say, hey, I'm interested in Project Miletium. I would like to try out a weekly community call before I join. You are welcome to do that. So drop me a line, come message me on LinkedIn if you want to, or Twitter or Facebook. I want to try this out before I buy it. 100% you can do that, and it's awesome. I mean honestly, we're a month in, I'm loving it. The members that we've got already are loving it. It's just so good, so much fun. I love it. So anyway, That's it. That's enough of the sponsors. Today, I'm going to go through my notes of the safety of work, safety work versus safety of work paper. This is published in Safety Science Journal. It is by Andrew Ray and David Prover. They run the Safety of Work podcast. So this is kind of their swan song. Not really the right thing. This is kind of what they've named their podcast on. It is, frankly, one of the best pieces I've read in safety. And I think this is one thing we have been missing for a very, very long time. I'm just going to go through my notes here. I'm going to keep this as raw and emergent as possible. Translation, what does emergent mean? It means I haven't put too much thought into the planning of this episode. No, that's incorrect. That would do me a misjustice. I have taken a whole ream of highlights and notes, and I just wanted to go through them in the rawest fashion because I don't want this to be like a paper review. I'm not really qualified to critique a paper. So I just wanted to kind of run through the things that I've highlighted and why I've highlighted them. But I'll give you a bit of an overall summary. This is not a massive paper, which is a massive plus for me. It's only... Well, it says 127 pages because obviously it's taken out of the journal. But let me just one. That's a back. I printed back to back. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 7.5 pages. 7.5 pages long. Very small. You could smash this out in about 20 minutes if you're a fast reader. If you're really slow like me, maybe an hour. Actually, it took me like 3 days because I did it bit by bit. But it is mega good, honestly. So basically, let's run through some of the things that I have highlighted. On the first page, in the introduction, I've highlighted this statement. The practice of safety is a complex social phenomenon where actions within organizations serve both instrumental functions, brackets, achieving goals, and expressive functions, revealing attitudes. Reference to Islam and Zaifa. This dual purpose may be called insurance and assurance from Ray and Alexander, or being safe and feeling safe, or as in the title of this paper, safety of work and safety work. Now, I'm going to say that again without all the references. I'm not going to do references through this because they've done it in the paper. If you want to read it, read it. Yeah, and I'm not a researcher. I'm just reading this shit. So without the references, the practice of safety is a complex social phenomena where actions within the organizations serve both instrumental functions, achieving goals, and expressive functions, revealing attitudes. This dual purpose might be called insurance and assurance, or being safe and feeling safe, or, as in the title of this paper, safety of work and safety work. So the safety of work is the safety of work, and safety work is the work that we safety people do. And then the next kind of paragraph I have, why did I highlight that? Let's kind of go through that. Why did I highlight that? I quite liked how they've split up a very simple. I initially quite liked how they'd split it up into two different types. Like, I like the middle bit, being safe and feeling safe. I quite like that. But then they kind of break safety down into more different types, which kind of makes the first bit that I've highlighted a moot point. But, you know, it's emergent as you're reading through this, isn't it? Next bit I've highlighted, again, in the introductions, first page. As Honegger puts it, the efforts to prevent future accidents actually serve as a dual purpose, to be safe and to feel safe. But sometimes the latter stands in the way of the former. So the latter being to feel safe stands in the way of actually being safe. And I thought, how true is that? The need to feel safe as, oh, I realise I've let my music stop. Apologise for that. I mean, there's probably some people feeling, thank God he's let the music go. Because it's proper emo this, isn't it? Jesus, I feel like there's some moody singer with this, with an overgrown fringe, is about to start singing something like, I'm not going to sing, I'm so bad at singing, but like, this was totally my childhood, my teenagehood. I was on the bus, the X4 to Northampton with my skateboard. Yeah, I've totally got distracted there. Sorry. This is not James's flashbacks. James's flashbacks. What a great podcast that would be. Coming soon to Spotify. Anyway, back on track. So yeah, I kind of like that. Like how true is that? Like think about to all your kind of your systems and stuff, like the clutter, the safety clutter, so to speak, that there is another paper on from David as well. That's this need to feel safe, isn't it? This drive for rag charts and recorded risk assessments and absolutely covering every single base, this over safety, so to speak, is this need for businesses and boards to feel safe, but actually stands in the way of us actually being safe. It's a false sense of safety, so to speak. It's kind of how I talk about it. Okay, moving on to some of my other points. Next bit I've highlighted, still in the introduction, but on the second page. To understand this better, we divide safety work into four aspects, without suggesting that any one of these is automatically more legitimate or real than others. One, social safety. Affirming that safety is valued and achieved. 2. Demonstrated safety, proving safety to external stakeholders. 3. Administrative safety, establishing and following clear rules and requirements for safety. Physical safety, changing the work environment for safety. This safety work may contribute to, but is not the same as, the safety of work. The safety of work relates to the likelihood and consequences of accidents arising from the way that operational work is performed. For readability, from here on, refer to this to the safety of work as operational safety. So operational safety is actual safety, like it's the likelihood and consequence of accidents arising from the way that operational work is performed. Now, the people that write this shit are a hell of a lot more intelligent than me. So these are just my kind of interpretations of this stuff. And I might have got this way, way wrong. And that's cool if I did. But genuinely, I was really impressed by this. I really like the way they split out social safety, demonstrated safety, administrative safety, and physical safety. And then you've got operational safety. So essentially there's five types of safety. And I kind of really, really like that. So physical safety might be something like a guard or something like that. PPE is physical safety. Social safety, things like values and like Vision Zero would be probably like social safety. Demonstrated safety would be RAMS, risk assessment method statement. Administrative safety is, again, probably like RAMS would kind of fall into that as well. But it kind of depends how you're using it. So using your RAMS to demonstrate to your employer that you're doing a safe job, or you might be using it to establish and follow clear rules, in which case it becomes administrative safety. So a permit to work might be a good example of an administrative safety, I hope. David might be listening to this. I'd love it if David would be listening to my podcast. But David or Drew might be listening to this and going, he has got this way fucking wrong. This guy has not got a clue. If I had, then as the saying goes, there's no such thing as a bad student, just bad teachers. So more for you. Actually, if I have got it that wrong, then I apologise. Okay, moving swiftly on. Next highlighted statement. Probative, and I hope I've pronounced that right, but probative blindness, in quotations, which is safety activities that improve confidence in safety without revealing or changing the underlying operational safety. So things that improve confidence in our safety approach or systems, but actually without revealing or changing the underlying operational safety. So without changing the reality of work, like the safety of work, so to speak. And that's from a paper of Ray and Alexander in 2017. And it says, however, in this paper, we suggest that it's unhelpful to consider demonstrated social and administrative safety as distractions from actual or unreal operational safety. All types of safety work are important, but for different reasons. Now, I remember reading that and feeling like, oh, that's so true, because I'm probably one of those people that really heavily criticize how we just kind of focus too much on these administrative and demonstrated safety and way too much. And actually, here it just kind of puts it solid that, yes, we may do it too much, and yes, there may be an imbalance, but they're important nonetheless. They have a purpose, and we as safety professionals need to understand that. And this reminds me of when I interviewed Dominique, the head of safety for the Royal Opera House, and she said in the, I'm sure she said in a podcast, but if she didn't, then she said it in a conversation with me outside of that podcast. We as safety professionals have two aspects to our roles: protect the business and protect the people. Now, we heavily focus on protect the people for obvious reasons, but protect the business is also what we need to do, which is a very vital part of what we do, which a lot of this work of safety, the administrative, demonstrative, and in some cases social safety, they do that. They protect the business. And that is a part of what we do, whether we like it or not. So basically they're saying it's unhelpful to say that one is better than the other or one distracts from the other. It's just about saying that, or understanding and accepting that there are different types of safety, which I really liked. Okay, moving on. Section 2, bureaucracy, institutions and work. So in this section, I've highlighted quite a big statement. Institutional work brings the same curious respect to investigations of management work that modern safety science brings to the study of frontline work. Institutional work in four categories: conceptual work, creates, maintains or disrupts the normative ideals of the institution. It provides a collective understanding of what needs to be done and why it's important. Structural work, organized roles, rules, systems and resources. It provides certainty and predictability. Operational work is made up of concrete actions that influence the day-to-day lives of frontline workers. Relationship work is the building of interpersonal trust, alliance and collaboration. It allows individuals to cooperate in performing the other types of institutional work. Now, I'm not going to lie, most of that I was like, what the fuck? But when you kind of read it again, when you go through those different types of work, conceptual work creates and maintains or disrupts the normative ideals of the institution, provides a collective understanding of what needs to be done and why it is important. So for me, that was kind of like creates and maintains or disrupt the ideals, the normative ideals of the institution, provides a collective understanding of what needs to be done. I feel like that's our mission statement, our objectives, our values, maybe. I may have got that really wrong. If I had, please let me know. Where was the next one? Structural work. That's easy peasy. That's does what it says on the tin. Roles, responsibilities, systems, rules, resources. Operational work is the actions that influence the day-to-day lives of frontline workers, and relationship work is the interpersonal trust, alliance, collaboration. I just really like that. Like, the more and more I read it, and even now, the first time I just read that, I was like, oh God, why did I read this out? Because I don't know what it means. But the more and more I read it, the more and more that work starts to make sense, because we look at safety work and we look at institutional work or work as different types of things, and we can start to maybe address that. Right, that contributes to that, which contributes to that. It's kind of creating a bit more of a systems thinking approach, maybe. Okay, so going to the next page, this section 3, performing safety work, I've kind of highlighted the four types of safety work again. So social safety, a type of conceptual work. This is because it kind of aligns it to to those types of work. That was why. So social, there's four types of safety work. Social safety is a type of conceptual work aimed specifically at maintaining safety as a value, an organization's belief in itself as a champion of safety. Two, demonstrated safety is a structural work orientated towards stakeholders outside the organization, showing that the organization is meeting its safety obligations. Three, administrative safety is structural work orientated inwards, providing a mechanism for safety concerns to influence operational work. Four, physical safety is the work that directly transforms the work environment in the interest of safety. So when you really start to compare the two, like, that's the way to, the more and more you progress through this paper, the more and more I think, fuck me, this is what we've been missing. Like, just really think about that. When we're really starting to understand the different types of work and what that does, and you really start to break down your systems, your approaches, the rhetoric and the platitudes and stuff at work. Like, I don't use those words as negative. Like, they are things that exist and they exist for a reason. The values, the phrases, the languages, the communications, the rules, the procedures, etc., they all bring a purpose. And when we look at that from a safety point of view, and again, I just kind of go through them as well. Again, social safety is a type of conceptual work aimed specifically at maintaining safety as a value. So social safety is safety as a value. It's at the organization's belief in itself as a champion of safety. So you can really understand why, like, Vision Zero means something to these people, whether we think that's right or not. You can understand why that the debates or the arguments around it get so passionate, because people believe that in the themselves, is part of themselves. It's a core value. It doesn't matter what your value is, it's a value nonetheless. So social safety is about, maybe it's what we used to kind of call culture, but, like, it's that, I don't want to repeat it again, but, you know, it is something that we believe in ourselves, that we champion safety, and that's important. And I wonder if it's like, where's the line that it becomes rhetoric and it loses its value? Well, I think for me, that's when you don't live up to it. But again, I'm nowhere near as intelligent as people that write this stuff. Let's move on. Demonstrated value, you know, structural work orientated towards stakeholders. It's showing that we're meeting our safety obligations. That really makes sense, doesn't it? Like, how would we probably not criticize so much the amount of paperwork that we maybe have to do if we understand that because it's part of our safety obligations to demonstrate safety, it serves a purpose? And I kind of like that. I like being able to say, oh, okay, so it serves a purpose to demonstrate its safety. It may not impact physical safety or may not impact operational safety, but it does benefit us from demonstrating. And the same, you know, administered safety, it's kind of demonstrated safety, but inwards. You know, and that's providing mechanisms for safety concerns to influence operational work. So this is about having those, you know, pre-work risk assessments, those permit to work systems, their systems, their admin systems in place to try to influence operational work, which I just love that. I love that. So maybe it's like safety signage is the same thing. Physical safety, That stuff's really obvious, isn't it? The next kind of highlighted thing that I've got, we also define a fifth aspect of safety, operational safety, as the absence of harm arising from operational work. Operational safety is not a type of work, it's an emergent property of work. So I should try and get, I remember reading this about 50 times, and even though I've just read it again, read it again, I still have to try and get my head around that. We also define a fifth aspect of safety, operational safety, as the absence of harm arising from operational work. Operational safety is not a type of work itself, it's an emergent property of work. So operational safety is essentially like the outcome of work. So something that happens whilst we're doing operational work, I think. I'm kind of, again, sometimes this stuff I find really difficult to get my head around. Half the time I spend Googling the words just to understand what it means. but the absence of harm arising for work. So here we can start to understand, I think, anyway, this is just kind of, I'm thinking out loud here more than anything. The presence of positives, right? And the absence of negatives, right? So our operational safety is the absence of harm arising from operational work, right? So we're measuring operational safety by our accidents and incidents of stats and shit like that. But then the measurements of positives is looking at physical safety, admin safety, demonstrated safety, and social safety. Maybe. Have I got that way off base? Am I really fucking wrong? Let me know. I might be way wrong. But just thinking out loud here, people. Just thinking out loud. Let's move on. The different types of safety work can be hard to tell apart. In fact, people inside organisations often see all safety activity as part of supporting operational safety. They may be offended or become anxious if the amount of safety work is reduced because this is perceived as a reduction in operational safety. Breaking the causal link to operational safety by suggesting that an activity doesn't contribute to the prevention of accidents delegitimises administrative, social and demonstrated safety. This can be seen in language such as focusing on compliance, which is performing administrative safety, paying lip service to safety, performing social safety, or just trying to cover their backsides, performing demonstrative safety. That is the best bit of that highlighted statement, I think. This can be seen in language such as focusing on compliance, which is performing administrative safety, paying lip service to safety, performing social safety, or just trying to cover their asses, performing demonstrative safety. So when we start to apply these things into sections and see that they provide a certain value, we can really start to stop criticizing it and just seeing if it provides value. So I talk about, the reason why I think I like this paper so much is because I always talk about providing value. So you can have paperwork as long as it provides value. So it could be really hard if you didn't understand these five types of safety. It could be really hard to understand if it provides value if you don't understand these five types of safety, because immediately you would be like, well, does it make us safe? Well, no, not really, but it does tell our insurers that we're doing a good job. Yeah, but that doesn't make us safe, so get rid of it. But we cannot do that. And sometimes I think that's one of the problems when I think this is what I've been missing. Like when I'm talking about people and I'm heavily criticizing people's approach to kind of paper safety, it's because maybe I didn't have this. So for me, this is the thing we've been missing 100% in addition to psychological safety. I think this breakdown of safety is a game changer. And I think everybody should read this paper, which is kind of why I'm doing this podcast. Because if you can't afford to buy it, then hopefully you will you'll get something from this. So then the next few sections they break down, and I'm conscious that I'm already half hour in, and I have got so much more to cover. So I'm just going to whiz through some bits. So social safety is the creation of an internal organizational narrative that puts safety in a special position. The organization displays a collective commitment to the well-being of everyone involved in accompanying the organization. Unless an organization ceases business altogether, safety cannot actually be a constant top priority. Safety is constantly in a state of tension and trade-off with other values and goals of the organization. I kind of want to go into that, but I'm concerned that we're already half an hour in. But like, I like the idea that you know, we need to accept that it can't be a constant priority. Safety is kind of this constant balance of trade-offs, maybe. Like, it's a consistent trade-off all the time. It's the, like, trade-off's a new way of saying it, but like, if you think back to when they talked about risk assessment, likelihood versus severity, like, forget that, but think about that balance that we used to talk about. It's that, but it's not a balance for this one thing. It's a balance all the time. We're always balancing the risk. We're constantly risk assessing all the time. And risk, and this is why I like it when we look at it as a more holistic risk point of view, when safety just isn't this standalone thing, when it's a more business risk approach. I just said I wasn't going to break this down, didn't I? But I'm doing it anyway. Because it enables us to understand that we've got a freaking job to do. Like, so we need to understand that. We need to get this job done, okay, but it's really fucking dangerous. So what do? A risk assessment, which is what we're doing right now in that conversation. So that's kind of what I liked about that. I'm going to whiz on because we'll be here all day. The symbolic and stylized nature of social safety can be seen in safety slogans. Everyone goes home safe every day. The accident is preventable. Safety is no accident. Branded safety programs like Safety First, Zero Harm, Next Gear. Safety logos distinct from company logos. Specific times and places for safety, safety shares, safety moments, safety as prescribed first agenda in meetings, safety as an adjective to mark objects and occasions as special, like safety conversations or safety requirements. To say social safety is symbolic, ritualistic does not diminish the importance of social safety. Rituals are an important type of work necessary for individuals to reconcile their individuality with a greater purpose and to think institutionally. I just think that's a great paragraph, so I'm not going to break that down anymore. Because frankly, we don't have time, and frankly, it was really, really good. I've only highlighted one section in section 3.3, which is the beginning paragraph of demonstrated safety. Demonstrated safety work consists of activities that assure safety to stakeholders outside the organization to flourish. A business needs regulators, communities, and customers who believe in safety of the company's products and activities. Without such approval, an organization cannot sustain business. Nailed it. So frankly, we need to demonstrate safety, 100%. Moving swiftly on, administrative safety. So this is a statement I've highlighted here in 3.4 of administrative safety. Administrative safety is the enactment of controllable, repeatable, and measurable safety routines. As with demonstrated safety, administrative safety activities are a form of structural, institutional work to manage day-to-day activities. Organizations need to translate goals and objectives into concrete plans with clear expectations of what is required of everyone within the organization. Again, I just really like a load of the stuff that we're talking about here, and I genuinely think this is something that should be in safety qualifications and understanding of all of the stuff, because I think we breeze over it, but this paper just really breaks it down, and it's just so good. I'll move on to my next highlighted point, again in the same section, administrative safety. The language of administrative safety, it's really hard to say that, administrative safety reflects this. Definitions, standards, rules, accountabilities, systems, boundaries, and role requirements. Goals and values are translated into practices that can be performed in a standardized way that are objectively checkable. Administrative safety is measured through internal compliance and external accreditation audits. So we're just really starting to break down what these things are. I've highlighted the last bit, the last line of administrative safety section as well. It is an important and open question, though, whether and when administrative safety work supports or hinders operational safety. So there's a bit of a hint of that kind of paper safe, you know, approach, that full sense of safety. Like, we have to be cautious that administrative safety doesn't lull us into a full sense of safety, so to speak. Okay, moving on. Physical safety. Most operational work, even when it is performed with non-safety goals, has a bearing on the likelihood of an accident. There is some frontline work, though, that could not occur were it not for safety concern. This work includes fitting and maintaining protective barriers such as machine guards, placing markers and signs such as traffic cones or wet floor signs, supplying and managing personal protective equipment such as gloves and glasses, installing, testing, monitoring, safety-specific alarms and conducting safety-specific tests such as measuring atmospheres in confined space. Because physical safety directly changes the work, task or environment, it has the potential to be more direct causal and more it has the potential for a more direct causal link to operational safety. All other types of safety work must first influence physical safety or operational work in order to change operational safety. It does not necessarily mean any specific physical safety activity improves operational safety. I mean, mind fucking blown. Just that last paragraph, because physical safety directly changes the work task or environment, it has the potential to for a more direct causal link to operational safety. All other types of safety work must first influence physical safety or operational safety or operational work in order to change operational safety. Operational safety being the outcome, in my opinion, if I've interpreted it correctly. This does not necessarily mean that any specific physical safety activity improves operational safety. So it's kind of like you put a guard in, but that guard may not necessarily improve the outcome of safety because it might be the wrong guard, might be in the wrong place. You know, a prime example would be I've implemented some gloves, and that glove may fix one risk, but it created another one. Therefore, it's not really impacted operational safety. I think maybe I've got that wrong. Again, if I have, let me know. Okay, I have highlighted shitloads of stuff in operational safety, so I'm just going to do a few bits. I'll do the first bit. So, operational safety is an emergent property of work. It is sometimes described as the freedom from unacceptable risk of harm. But that definition poses serious problems for recognizing safety. Acceptable risk, in quotations, is conceptualized through social safety, measured through administrative safety, and declared through demonstrated safety. You just see where this shit just gets really complicated. Except when a fatal or catastrophic accident occurs, operational safety can only be measured by performing administrative safety, social safety, and demonstrative safety work. Even an apparently objective measure of safety, such as number of injuries, requires administrative rules for identifying, screening, classifying, counting, and reporting. In practice, it is hard to draw a clear line between safety work and operational safety. So it's really hard to draw a clear line between those four types of safety and actual operational safety. Now, I don't think this really gives crazy answers, but it really does help us understand what we're dealing with, doesn't it? I'll just move on quickly. The following examples illustrate the distinction. Preparation of safety case documents for a regulator by external consultants who have no influence over design or operations. This is safety work, specifically demonstrated safety. In pursuit of organizational need, it has no mechanism to change operational safety. Safety audits that check the presence of documents, but not the quality of their content. This administrative safety work, because the checks can be satisfied regardless of operational reality, it does not change operational safety. Risk assessments prepared in support of decisions that have already been made. This is social safety work because the assessments can change how people feel about decisions, but not the operational impacts of the decisions. I think that last one really hits home for me. Like, risk assessment prepared in support of decisions that have already been made. This is social safety because the assessments can change how people feel about the decisions, but not the operational impacts of the decision. For me, that was huge. So unless an RA, a risk assessment, changes the methods, thoughts, conditions that change physical safety, then it will not create safety. So it's just identifying what this is here for. Is it because we want to have social safety, or is it because we want to demonstrate safety? And there may not be anything wrong with either of those two, but just understanding that's going to help, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to whiz through some bits. How are we doing? 40 minutes in. We're not doing well on time here, are we? We've still got like 3 pages left. Okay, mutual reinforcement, section 4.1, which is under section 4, which is interaction between social, demonstrated, administrative, physical, and operational safety. Social safety intersects with administrative safety when formal programs are created aimed at increasing the level of care for safety within an organization. Examples of this include DuPont's Felt Leadership Program, Shell's Hearts and Minds Program. Social safety intersects with demonstrative safety when, even in the absence of explicit stakeholder demands, organizations seek external recognition for their internal safety narratives. A key example is nominating for safety awards. The same document, for example, I've kind of highlighted that for myself and it loses a bit of context there, doesn't it? Administrative safety. Okay. I'm just going to leave that one because I've highlighted it with some scribbles and it doesn't really help. It loses. You need to read the whole thing and we haven't got time for that. So I apologise for that little bit there. I'd cut it out, but I can't be asked. This is emergent. Let's go. Okay, moving swiftly on. On one hand, goal-based requirements explicitly require more sophisticated demonstration performances to the point where there is a subspecialty of safety profession dedicated to safety assurance, demonstrated safety work. This may create distance between safety demonstration and operational safety. On the other hand, the flexibility of goal-based regulation may allow organizations to choose administrative and physical safety practices that are more effective in achieving operational safety. This kind of comes to my video. I don't know if you see it. This paragraph here is what kind of sparked my thoughts on that video that's got a very provocative title, and safety is doomed to fail. On maybe there is a need to have people that focus on administrative and demonstrative safety, and people that focus on the more people side of things, and maybe the social safety, and the more people that focus on the technical side of safety, the operational work, of kind of separating our profession into different types, may be a good thing. I really don't know. Let me know your thoughts. Go and watch the video and comment on it and let me know what you think. Okay, moving on to section 4.5, negotiation of power. Demonstrated safety performance provides authority by proxy. A manager or safety practitioner who is the source of information on what the customer, the regulator, or legislation requires can shape social safety, administrative, and operational performance. Typical examples of this are safety engineer who demands that a risk assessment is performed in a particular way to comply with a standard, or a manager who demands that an injury is not reported to avoid upsetting the site owner or principal contractor. Social safety performance uses rituals to channel group authority into particular symbols or words, calls upon the power of those symbols or words to demand particular actions. We have to investigate, in quotes, we have to investigate the stub toe because every accident is preventable and we are committed to zero harm. Administrative safety provides positional or formal authority in heavily institutionalized organizations. Written procedures can acquire formal authority that transcends traditional hierarchical authority. Power rests in the hands of those who write the rule books. I just really love this paper. Like, just, I don't even need to break some of this stuff down. Like, just how powerful is that paragraph? Like, I just love it. I really love it, especially when you start to really think about your work that you've done over the years in safety. Okay, moving on to section 5, last couple of bits that I've highlighted, discussion. This is 5.1, why distinguish between safety work and safety of work? So I've highlighted this statement here. The complex relationship between structural work and operational work has been extensively examined in other fields, but in safety is usually represented as a binary choice between structure, safety one, and agency, safety two. This is unhelpful as it leads onto logical debates about whether different types of safety work count as safety, instead of empirical investigation of safety work activities best support operational safety. So basically, stop fucking bickering amongst yourself and trying to simplify this into two groups, because that ain't helping. I just really like that statement. I highlighted and put should use for end of safety one, safety two mini series, in which I completely forgot to do, and now I'm kicking myself. But oh well, this episode came out a week later, so I don't know, that'll work. Oh my god, this is so emergent, this podcast. Emergent translated to unplanned and not thought out. Okay, last few statements. Distinguishing between different aspects of safety also assists in discussing the relationship between safety and assurance. Confusion between safety work and operational safety leads to false alarm, brackets, where someone holds undue concern about non-existent or insignificant risk, close brackets, and false assurance, where there is misplaced confidence in the management of safety risk. So distinguishing between different aspects of safety also assists in discussing the relationship between safety and assurance. And that's kind of what I said earlier. What this does is it helps us to understand what that piece of work is doing for us as a company. And once we work out what the intention of that is, we can then work out whether it's delivering on that intention. Prior to that, we were always going to struggle to do that, weren't we? Because we're always going to go, oh, okay, this doesn't make us safer, therefore it's shit. That's not how this works. Actually, this doesn't make us safer, but what it does do is it provides this assurance to our stakeholders or our insurers or something like that. Or actually what this does is it contributes to people's inner belief that we are committed to safety, our social safety. And that's why I think this paper is so powerful, is because it does that. It distinguishes between the different types of safety. They continue on to say, our model suggests that unless organizations can differentiate between demonstrated, administrative, social, physical, and operational safety, they may be performing institutional safety work without achieving operational safety. Like, does that not put it into a nutshell? Pretty much what I just said, man. Like, this is just so eye-opening, this paper. Organizations measure operational safety through risk assessments, which are usually demonstrated, and administrative safety, compliance, which is usually physical and administrative safety, leading indicators, which are usually measurements of administrative and social safety, lagging indicators, which are operational safety interpreted for administrative safety work, or safety culture surveys, which are a measure of social safety. Like, do you not, like, think that all of these bits are just really kind of opening your eyes to the work that you've done over the years? Like, it really does just help us massively understand what we're doing. Okay, so operational safety is measured through risk assessments, but actually that's demonstrated and administrative safety. Okay, so when we're talking about leading and lagging into indicators, we can really start to understand, right, what we're measuring here. We're measuring demonstrated, we're measuring administrative, and leading and lagging are just two forms within here that measure administrative and social safety and operational administrative safety. So you really start to really understand this stuff, and when you start to break it really down, and then we can really start to tweak our work. I think, like, we can go, right, this is demonstrated safety, and this, well, I'm just saying what I said earlier, but I think, yeah, I mean, I'm waffling, aren't I, people? I really am. I'm waffling because I just genuinely think this paper is just the best piece of work I have read from a safety point of view. I genuinely think that this should be in the hands of every safety professional before they start. You should understand these five types of safety work. before you do anything else. So hopefully I've kind of helped you do that through this podcast. I'll just finish with the last bit that I've highlighted, which is actually the final paragraph of the conclusion of this document. Understanding that safety work is institutional work that serves purposes beyond achieving operational safety is important both for those who seek to understand why safety practice is the way it is today, and for those who seek to change safety practice to create a stronger link between safety work and safety of work. I just think that's so powerful. Understanding that safety work is institutional work that serves purposes beyond achieving operational safety is important for both those who seek to understand why practices are the way they are today and those who seek to change practice to create a stronger link between safety work and safety of work. So basically, for those of us who are trying to do what we do, we need to understand these different types of work, these different types of safety work, and understand, is that work of safety or is that safety work? So understanding social safety, demonstrative safety, administrative safety, and physical safety, and then operational safety is vital in everything we do going forward. And honestly, this is the best piece of safety work I have read in a very long time. And I wanted to try and keep this as raw as possible, because I remember that feeling when I finished reading this paper and I sat downstairs. It was like a Friday afternoon. I sat downstairs, I poured myself a nice glass of rum and lemonade, and I was just sat there and I was just kind of in awe of this piece of work. And I kind of wanted to record this episode today with that rawness, that feeling. That's why I've literally just read out my notes, and that hasn't been a bit messy. Yeah, granted it has, but there is a genuine love for this paper. You could probably hear it in my voice. Like, I was dumbstruck when I read this. I was just taken aback. I felt like everything I'd done just made sense now, and everything I go forward to do now makes sense. I can look at things and go, okay, right, this is not operational safety, but actually this is important because it's social safety. Or this is important because it's demonstrative safety. And it, for me, was just eye-opening. So honestly, if you can get this paper, then do it. Because me reading out the bits that I've highlighted probably doesn't really do it justice. But frankly, I think you should just get it, read it, highlight bits that are good for you, and keep it in your bag. So I hope this has helped. If it has, let me know. Don't forget to come and check us out at Project Miletium, www.projectmiletium.com. I hope to see you at one of our calls. And if you want to try it before you buy it, then let me know and you can try one of our calls for free. It's for anyone really that's joined the profession that wants to kind of help their development and their growth, or maybe you're at a crossroads and you're struggling to find that next step, or maybe you're in a position where you've got loads and loads of knowledge and experience and you want to try and give back, then Project Miletium is for you. Hopefully I'll see you at one of our calls. Hopefully you found this helpful. You're going to download this paper. You're going to contact the authors, Andrew Ray and David Provan, and try and get it for free because you're a tight ass like me. And if you're not a tight ass, hopefully you'll buy it from Safety Science. Or maybe you already buy that journal anyway. I don't, because I'm a tight ass. I believe they might have covered this on their podcast anyway, but if they haven't, you should definitely go check out the Safety of Work podcast. I'll link it in the description below. But otherwise, thanks for listening, everybody. I'll catch you next week. Safe. Oh, I just screwed that up, didn't I? Press the wrong button.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.